Word on the street on Off the Ball.
Is there a problem? Absolutely. Is it shite? Absolutely. Will you watch it? Absolutely.
Word on the street, available now on Go Loud app.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.
Well, it finished at Villa Park this afternoon. Aston Villa 0, Everton 1. In the build-up to the game, Vinny, I was kind of looking at all the players' stats and recent form and that kind of thing. It was actually hard to call a winner, but you kind of felt with their home record of late, how well they've been doing over the last number of weeks, Aston Villa might just edge this against an Everton side that have been struggling without their AFCON players and also the injured players. But Everton really went out on the front foot from the start of the game. And you'd have to say at the end of the match, it was deserved 3 points.
Yeah, I think they deserved it. I think this, I mean, you touched on the start of it, like the tip off goes back to the goalkeeper Pickford. He launches a bit of confusion in the back four of Villa, which there was in a lot of the game, and a real chance after 30 seconds where Everton hit the post. So that was typified of a lot of what went on through the game. And at different stages, Villa were good. They were decent. Tielemans was the one in midfield that was trying to make things happen for them. Rodgers had an off day. Watkins was non-existent. And I think ultimately, this Villa squad have overachieved, and they've done brilliant under the manager. But ultimately, the bench, the squad, everything about them was probably short today. And Everton seized that moment and were really, really good. And I mean, Garner got man of the match, but some of the performance in their midfield was exceptional today. Three young enough boys, 23, 24 and 18-year-old Harrison was exceptional. So they really deserved the win, I have to say.
Yeah, you mentioned Harrison Armstrong, 18 years of age. What was it about the way he was playing today that impressed you?
What really impressed me about Armstrong today was, I suppose, if you look at the last 30 seconds of the game, Villa are chasing, they're playing around the ball at the back, and the two midfielders, Raul goes and closes down Martinez, it goes out to the right back, and all of a sudden Armstrong is the one in the 94th minute where he's brave, he goes after the ball, he wins a tackle, ultimately goes out with a throw-in for Villa, and that's the last chance of the game. So that running power, that hunger, that desire, 18 years of age, he had all of that today, and he showed a little bit of quality as well in terms of picking out passes. He was clever with his little layoffs. He got and supported Barry at different stages up front. He was really, really good. He looks a hell of a good young player at this stage. And I know there's been a lot of talk about him at Everton for a long time, but tell you what, he really stepped up to the plate today, and he looked like, you know, he was a cut above everybody. But I understand why Garner probably got man in the match on the TV game, but the midfield three, Everton was just better. They bossed it.
From an Irish perspective, great to see Seamus Coleman fit again and back on the bench. But Jake O'Brien, I was just saying to you off mic, I think it might be his best performance in the Premier League since he's arrived at Everton.
Yeah, I think he's had some great moments at the right back position, but I think today we've seen, like, Jake is ultimately a centre half, and that's where he's played most of his career, and playing in that sort of right hand side of a back three at different stages in his career, or right back where they're trying to hit him, is fine. But I felt like he needed a couple of run at games just to find his rhythm at centre-half again, even though he's a natural centre-half, and he's done that. Got away one maybe early in the first half where he didn't keep the same line as his other three. That's nitpicking, because he was exceptional tonight. Tartovsky got caught out once or twice with Ollie Watkins, and he came across and read the play brilliantly. He was really, really good today. Threw his body on the line. Unlucky not to score. He did score ultimately, but VAR ruled it out for an offside, and he's really, really unlucky there today. But really strong performance from him. From an Irish point of view, one thing we're not stuck of is centre-halves. But remember, we've got one in O'Brien who's performing at a really high level, at top of, you know, a top league, top football, and should be very proud of what he's doing in the Premiership at the moment.
On Everton then, Vinny, how high can they aspire to this season? Because they're up to 10th now. They're, what do we say, Manchester United are in fifth position. Everton on 32 points, only 3 points behind Manchester United. So it's really tight, congested there. You look at the teams around them, like their first team of a similar quality. It's just the squad depth. So you kind of feel Moyes would need to get a couple of bodies into the club before the end of the transfer window. But is European football within their grasp?
Oh, it is. I think some of the frustration going into this game, when you listen to a couple of people, of big Everton fans, people that live around that area, and their big frustration is they felt they've left a few points behind. And when, I know everyone does that over season, but when you think they're only, you know, a couple of points behind Manchester United in that sort of fifth, which is effectively a Champions League spot, you know, they would think the 3 points behind them, they left a few of them behind them. So they would think going after Europe has to be it. But ultimately, the problem with Everton is a lot of fans will be happy that they're not worried about relegation this season. Now they're almost getting a bit greedy, going, give us Europe. And I think it's on. It's on because they've when they get everybody back, they, you know, it's a mad league this season, but they need to sign a centre forward. And as good as Barry's goal was, it was exceptional. Barry's not being good enough for them. Beto's not being good enough for them either. And they need an out-and-out centre forward. I think they've a lot of quality in behind. Just need that. And if they're going to go after Europe, whether that's sixth or Europa League spot, they've got to get someone who's going to get them goals, or not even goals, but lead the line for them, give them a presence. And neither Beto or Barry are doing enough of that for them.
Speaking of centre forwards, Ollie Watkins for Aston Villa. He barely touched the ball today. He didn't have too many chances. Now, he was well marshalled by those Everton defenders. 7 goals in 22 matches, though, this season. He had 16 last season, 19 the season before. Feels like he's not playing at his best, but like today was a disaster for him.
It's funny because I thought in the start of the season he wasn't great, and then he hit a bit of form, and sort of that form was around. If you remember, Malin came in and done quite well at different stages. Different type of player, but he gave Villa something, particularly his energy levels. And then all of a sudden, Malin's left the club. I think he scored for Roma today. That game's not over yet, but then is he a little bit like, me job is done, I've got rid of that centre forward, I know there's another one just at the arriving at the club. So he was poor today, non-existent at different stages, didn't give them a platform. Brennan Deer got into that number 10 position. He's playing on the left, but he played really narrow, got the ball a lot of times, and never him and Watkins never had an understanding to pick out pass at any stage. So it's the poorest I've seen Villa. Again, one of my concerns about Villa this season was, when I spoke about them earlier on, is I don't feel they've enough strength and depth. I think when you look at substitutions, you're bringing on a young lad, Hemmings at 18 years of age, and he just looked like it was just too big of a game. Didn't have a real change up front, and just short of ideas. I mean, McGinn coming out of that team is a hammer blow for them.
How much of a blow could that be, do you think?
I think when you look of what they have on the bench, you look at what he does for the team, the energy levels,
the
driving standards. I imagine he's like that every day in training. All of those little things all add up to the big round picture. And he's only scored 3 goals this season, but he's been a catalyst of so much of what they've done. And again, he plays on the right wing, but he's here, there and everywhere. He's a Duracell bunny for them. That's a huge loss. It looks like, for me, I've seen so many of them injuries in players I've coached and worked with. It looked like, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it looks like it's a 4 to 6 week injury. Mm. I think it's more than just an impact. It may have damaged maybe some medial or something like that. So it's not a good sign for them. I'd be really concerned about him going forward.
Yeah. And I suppose for our Celtic cousin Scotland's sake as well, you would hope it's not a long-term injury, that he'll be back for the World Cup. Just to finish on Villa then, because it was a big opportunity for them today. They could have gone second, could have closed the gap on Arsenal to 4 points. We were remarking during the game as well, Villa's fixture list over the next couple of weeks, like, they're coming hard and fast. Fenerbahce away in the Europa League, Newcastle at home in the league, then it's a home to Salzburg, and then they've got Brentford, Bournemouth, Brighton, and then the cup against Newcastle.
Yeah,
it could be the part of the season where it starts to fall away from them. So how does Unai Emery address that?
Well, I know he can do that at different stages doing it against Arsenal, but he just walked off the pitch and he looked so disgusted with the performance of his players. I think the biggest concern will be the performance of his two centre-halves. Rodgers didn't play well today. He was awful, but he's potentially a world-class player. That will come. He's sort of earned the right to have the odd bad game. But the performance, Konsa, wasn't the worst of them, but Pau Torres, I mean, it looked like Everton said, let him on the ball. He a lot of straight passes, didn't work. The goal is typified.
Just back from injury, but he was only out for 5 games. He should still be match sharp.
Yeah, it wasn't 2 years, Stephen. Yeah, it wasn't good enough. Like, and you think of the goal, it's a great example. Like, Konsa heads it into the back of Barry, where he should be heading that away. Big, strong centre-half header. He doesn't. It then comes back to him. He rolls it to Torres, who hits him in the shin. And then the shot from McNeil is not a good shot. Martinez doesn't hold it. Yes, it's a brilliant, amazing finish by Barry, but defensively, and they've been solid enough, to be fair, but them two centre-halves cause real concern for me. And it also then, what that does is it gives, if you're playing against Villa next week and Torres is playing, you're like, let him on the ball, and then you go and press everybody off his pass. That's the trap sort of teams will look at. So really poor from Villa today. Look, they're in a strong position. They'll have to just dust themselves down and say it was one of them bad days. I've got to aim for it. Look, in the driving seat to be in Champions League football come the end of the season, they've got to put down to a bad day at the office.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, entertaining game. All this is all done, but Everton taking all 3 points. Next week on Off the Ball, on Sunday, we'll have Crystal Palace at home to Chelsea. It'll be Phil and Brian bringing you that game, and myself and Gary Breen at the Emirates for the big one between Arsenal and Manchester United. Join us then.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.